afternoon. Up in her bedroom window, Sally Carol Happer rested her 19-year-old chin on a 52-year-old sill and watched Clark Darrow's ancient Ford turn the corner. The car was hot. Being partly metallic, it retained all the heat it absorbed or evolved, and Clark Darrow, sitting bolt upright at the wheel, wore a painted, strained expression as though he considered himself a spare part and rather likely to break. He laboriously crossed two dust ruts, the wheels squeaking indignantly at the encounter. And then, with a terrifying expression, he gave the steering gear a final wrench and deposited self and car approximately in front of the Happer steps. There was a plaintive heaving sound, a death rattle, followed by a short silence, and then the air was rent by a startling whistle. Sally Carol gazed down sleepily. She started to yawn, but finding this quite impossible unless she raised her chin from the windowsill, changed her mind and continued silently to regard the car, whose owner sat brilliantly, if perfunctorily, at attention as he waited for an answer to his signal. After a moment, the whistle once more split the dusty air. "Good morning." With difficulty, Clark twisted his tall body round and bent a distorted glance on the window. "It ain't morning, Sally Carol."
"Isn't it, sure enough?"
"What you doing?"
"Eating an apple."
"Come on, go swimming. Want to?"
"Reckon so."
"How about hurrying up?"
"Sure enough."
Sally Carol sighed voluminously and raised herself with profound inertia from the floor, where she'd been occupied in alternately destroying parts of a green apple and painting paper dolls for her younger sister. She approached a mirror, regarded her expression with a pleased and pleasant languor, dabbed two spots of rouge on her lips and a grain of powder on her nose, and covered her bobbed corn-colored hair with a rose-littered sunbonnet. Then she kicked over the painting water and said, "Oh, damn!" but let it lay, and left the room.
"How you, Clark?"
she inquired a minute later as she stepped nimbly over the side of the car.
"Mighty fine, Sally Carol.
Where we go swimming?"
"Out to Wally's pool. Told Marilyn we'd call by and get her and Joe Ewing."
Clark was dark and lean, and when on foot was rather inclined to stoop. His eyes were ominous, and his expression somewhat petulant, except when startlingly illuminated by one of his frequent smiles. Clark had
an income,
just enough to keep himself in ease and his car in gasoline, and he had spent the 2 years since he graduated from Georgia Tech in dozing round the lazy streets of his hometown, discussing how he could best invest his capital for an immediate fortune. Hanging round he found not at all difficult. A crowd of little girls had grown up beautifully, the amazing Sally Carol foremost among them, and they enjoyed being swum with and danced with and made love to in the flower-filled summery evenings, and they all liked Clark immensely. When feminine company palled, there were half a dozen other youths who were always just about to do something, and meanwhile were quite willing to join him in a few holes of golf or a game of billiards or the consumption of a quart of hard yellow liquor. Every once in a while, one of these contemporaries made a farewell round of calls before going up to New York or Philadelphia or Pittsburgh to go into business. But mostly, they just stayed round in this languid paradise of dreamy skies and firefly evenings and noisy niggery street fairs, and especially of gracious, soft-voiced girls who were brought up on memories instead of money. The Ford having been excited into a sort of restless, resentful life, Clark and Sally Carol rolled and rattled down Valley Avenue into Jefferson Street, where the dust road became a pavement along Opiate Millicent Place, where there were a half dozen prosperous, substantial mansions, and on into the downtown section. Driving was perilous here, for it was shopping time. The population idled casually across the streets, and a drove of low-moaning oxen were being urged along in front of a placid streetcar. Even the shops seemed only yawning their doors and blinking their windows in the sunshine before retiring into a state of utter and finite coma.
"Sally Carol," said Clark suddenly, "is it a fact that you're engaged?"
She looked at him quickly.
"Where'd you hear that?"
"Sure enough, you engaged?"
"That's a nice question."
"Girl told me you were engaged to a Yankee you met up in Asheville last summer."
Sally Carol sighed.